This is AuthorPod, your podcast from the University of Stellenbosch covering orthopedic topics. I'm Ian Robertson, an orthopedic surgeon at Tygerberg Hospital in South Africa. This talk is on cystic conditions of bone and their management. A cyst can be defined as an intraosseous bone cavity. This talk will deal with benign degenerative cysts, because they are common in South Africa's iodated cysts. Cysts can be classified into primary cysts and secondary cysts. Primary cysts include the umicameral bone cyst, aneurysmal bone cyst, ganglionic cyst, epidermal inclusion cyst, and parasitic cyst. Secondary cysts consist of secondary aneurysmal bone cysts, arthritis-related cysts, post-traumatic cysts, hormone-induced cysts, and cysts associated with dialysis. What is the general management of bone cysts? The benign neoplastic cysts are common in childhood. Patients present with pain with or without a pathological fracture. Often they come after their fracture. The pain in the cyst may be due to imminent fracture or due to the formation of microfractures. If it is, patients can usually be reassured of a good prognosis. Plain radiographs are often sufficient, but in the case of deep atypical cysts, a computer tomogram or even a magnetic resonance will be valuable. The other advantage of these more sophisticated methods allow three-dimensional visualization, and magnetic resonance allows the contents as well as the thickness of the wall to be seen. A full blood count and erythrocyte sedimentation rate are valuable in excluding sepsis as a cause for the cyst. What about the simple unicameral bone cysts? How do we recognize these cysts? They are seen in the growing child and start at the growth plate and migrate towards the diaphysis as this matures. They are only mildly expansile, and they've got a well-defined bony wall. There may be a fallen fragment sign, in other words, a fracture of bone which falls into the cyst will fall to the bottom under gravity. In the unfractured cyst, how do we manage the unfractured cyst? You usually come in with a complaint. It's usually because it's a large cyst and it's about to break. The classical treatment has been open surgery. Cyst is packed, curetted, and burred. The lining of the cyst is removed, and autogenous bone is packed into the cyst, and this gives a reasonable low recurrent rate, but it is rather radical treatment, and there are modern methods try to avoid the trauma of open surgery. Basically, you can easily recognize these on x-rays, and you can see that it's benign because it's got a well-demarcated margin. It looks typically like the cyst. So, author Scagliati have injected methylprednisolone into the cyst, basically put two needles in the cyst, and then aspirate the contents. It should be serous fluid in the unicameral bone cyst, simple bone cyst, and then methylprednisolone, 40 to 80 milligrams injected into the cyst. This may need to be repeated every few weeks, and the cysts will gradually resolve on x-ray. In other words, it becomes sclerotic and will migrate to the mid-shaft. It really completely disappears. Complications include the pathological fractures, and if the wrong diagnosis, and maybe an aneurysmal bone cyst or something more aggressive, the cyst may not completely disappear and go on. If the cyst does not resolve, it may need open surgery. What about the majority of patients? Up to 75% of some authors, say some authors, present with a pathological fracture. These patients come in. Remember, try to recognize these as a pathological fracture. If the minor trauma in a child, you can see signs of a pre-existing cyst. Consider that this is a cyst that is fractured. And basically you can treat a pathological fracture through a cyst in most areas as if he did not have the cyst. Treat the fracture conservatively, and allow it to unite. The problem comes in with cysts about the hip area, which are high stress areas and may need prophylactic fixation with a pediatric hip screw or smooth K-wires into the hip, depending on the sighting of the lesion in the femur neck. Another method is to introduce flexible intermedullary rods, for these more towards fractures in the shaft area. Or basically, the fracture is treated with intermedullary rods. This decompresses the cyst. Basically, any method that decompresses the simple bone cyst will usually result in resolution of this cyst and a good prognosis. Aneurysmal bone cyst is the other cyst, which often looks very much like the simple bone cyst. Remember, it is more expansile, expands the bone, also has a well-defined margin, but can sometimes look quite aggressive. And it usually consists of many loculi, ordinary loculi seen on ordinary x-rays. These have a slightly higher recurrence rate. What about how they're treated? With open methods, is basically treated by opening, de-roofing the cyst, curetting away the margins, the walls, send it away for biopsy. And then once the biopsy's been done, burr away to bleeding bone. Once the cyst is completely clear, make sure that the roof area is clear of tumor. Sometimes a good idea to use a headlamp or some sort of light. Because it is more aggressive, the ABC will also need some adjuvant to remove the surviving tumor cells once you've finished burring and debriding the cyst cavity. One method is to use phenol, 80% phenol, 3 cycles, and remove it after each cycle with absolute alcohol, or by using the open pore method of liquid nitrogen. Cryosurgery completely removes the remaining tumor cells. Remember, it's toxic and may freeze adjacent structures, and damage to neurovascular structures must be avoided. For example, do not use it in spinal aneurysmal bone cyst. Source of an arthroscopy to see the whole cyst, and then is packed with either autogenous bone or allograft from the bone bank. Percutaneous methods have also been described for the aneurysmal bone cyst. Methylprednisolone does not do as well as with the simple bone cyst. It may need other methods such as ethi-block, BOC, and alcohol prep. Selective arterial embolization for the deep cyst has a place. The criteria of the cyst must have a definable blood supply. So get preoperative arteriograms and know that the thing has one or two big feeding arteries. And the cyst is then embolized, and the cyst, if successful, the cyst will gradually disappear over the month. Most ABCs are unsuitable for selective arterial embolization, as only a minority have a discrete blood supply. And the other problem is neurological complications. Cysts are often near the cord. The spinal aneurysmal bone cysts of the posterior elements are common. And if you're going to embolize this patient, make sure that you're not going to compromise end arteries to the spine, Adam Kivitz's arteries. If these are embolized, paralysis will follow. And for this reason, some authors recommend somatosensory evoked potentials to make sure, with a provocative amobarbital test before embolization of spinal lesions. Other authors say you must not embolize spinal lesions cord. That is. Other cysts are epidermal inclusion cysts. These are interosseous cysts of the phalanges. 95% of these are seen in the phalanges. They contain sebaceous fluid and are sometimes seen. Basically, these are treated symptomatically. Other common cysts in South Africa is the hydatid cyst, parasitic cyst, and it is also an expansile, multiloculated cyst, which has usually been present for several years. Ask for a history. Is the patient come out as sheep-rearing district? And basically the treatment is to get control of the cyst. The best way is in-block excision. If you can't excise it, the cysts have to be curetted out. Use black drapes to contrast the white of the cyst. And one way is to use 50% of saline solution to kill the remaining cysts. Ganglionic cysts, and ganglionic cysts appear near the joint but do not communicate with it. Magnetic resonance we use to differentiate cysts from geodes, which we'll discuss later. What about secondary bone cysts and arthritis-related cysts, such as the geode? Now, part of osteoarthritis is to make bone cysts. Sometimes these bone cysts appear before the manifestations of osteoarthritis, and they may be quite large. And basically, the treatment of geodes is the treatment of the underlying condition. In other words, they may need a hip replacement or osteotomy. And in rare cases, when the cyst is very large, it may be curetted and packed with bone. The characteristic of these cysts, they usually communicate. Many of them communicate with the synovial fluid in the joint. Hormonally induced cysts. These include the brown tumor of hyperparathyroidism. And don't forget to check your serum calcium if you see a cyst. It can confuse you with a diagnosis of aneurysmal bone of giant cell tumor often. Basically the underlying hyperparathyroidism has to be treated. Post-traumatic cysts are sometimes seen, and these may be unrecognized unicameral bone cysts of ABC. They may be secondary to the trauma. Sometimes there was definitely no UBC or ABC present before the trauma. And Timothy divides post-traumatic cysts into two groups. Asymptomatic transient cortical lesions found only in children, and the more central expanding lesion found at a wider age group, associated with pain, swelling, and pathological fractures. Unless the lesion is large and liable to fracture, no treatment is necessary. Larger cysts may require curettage and bone grafting. The other type of secondary cyst is hemodialysis-associated cysts. Remember, patients on chronic hemodialysis often have cysts near the joint. It's related to hyperparathyroidism. And Gielen found that after 10 years on renal dialysis, 11 of his 21 patients had bone cysts. Basically, the cysts are treated symptomatically together with the treatment of the underlying chronic renal failure. Let us recap for conclusion. In a simple bone cyst, the child usually presents because of the onset of pain. The cyst is not fractured. The cyst is probably in a pre-fracture stage and needs active management. The unicameral bone cyst, with the unicameral bone cyst, percutaneous methods are the method of choice. These simple procedures, such as injecting corticosteroids, are low risk, effective, and avoid the morbidity of open operation. Sclerosing adjuvants are rarely indicated with this cyst. In contrast, the aneurysmal bone cyst always needs treatment. One of the reasons is it may have areas of malignant treated tumor in it, and these need biopsy and histology. So this biopsy can be done during the definitive procedure. With open methods, the aggressive ABC needs additional adjuvant, such as cryosurgery, and these agents do not supplant a thorough debridement as well as burying of the walls of the lesion. Percutaneous treatment has also become popular with this tumor, especially in the deep lesion. Here, methylprednisolone will fail. ABC requires a more toxic agent, such as pol-didiconol. Successful treatment of a cystic lesion, especially when no bone graft is used, measured by resolution of the pain, thickening of the walls of the lesion. Keep this in mind when assessing old symptomatic cyst or deciding whether to remove hardware over a cyst. Up to half the cysts, even if bone graft, will retain a area of radial lucency. Most degenerative geodes are best left alone, and the primary cause addressed. If the geode appears at a younger age, or if there's doubt about the diagnosis or the danger of causing a fracture, open curettage and bone grafting will be tried. Thank you. I'm Ian Robertson.